Welcome to the Oily Doc, where oil education is fun, simple, and ready to use. I'm Tracy Smith, and we're here today with a very special guest, Crystal Garvin. Hi, Crystal.
Hey, Tracy. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this is our first podcast with an interview, so y'all get to be privy to the ridiculousness that may ensue from here. But the reason why I asked Crystal to come on today is she just got back from a really special trip to, Guatemala? Mm-hmm. Guatemala. And I'm going to have her talk about that trip. And so the first thing before we really get into that, though, is I'd like for Crystal to tell us a little bit about herself and how she got involved with doTERRA and essential oils in general. So Crystal, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I was really interested in natural solutions for my children and myself, and just always interested in researching and learning what I could about herbs and other alternative therapies, homeopathics, what have you. Just thought it was fascinating and really wanted to support my family's health that way. So a friend of mine that I grew up with in Montana, Tanya Cottrell, started using essential oils and posting things about it on Facebook and talking to me about it. And I just had never really been exposed to essential oils very much. I had one or two, I never thought they did very much, but the way she talked about them, they could do anything. So I was like, well, I need to try some. I need to really give this a good shot. So I did, and I was impressed right away with how it helped my family. And I'm just one of those people that when I really love something and I'm passionate about it, I just can't keep my mouth shut. And I talked to all my friends, and pretty soon my friends were like, well, we want to learn more about this too. And how do we learn more about essential oils? So I had a couple classes that my friend Tanya taught via webcam from Montana, and I just learned right along with everyone else. I was just so fascinated and enthralled with the information, and loved how simple she made it and easy for everyone to understand. And from that, I had about 10 enrollments from those first couple classes, and she said, you've got a business, and I was totally in denial about that for a while, but soon I learned to embrace that having a business just meant sharing with others and helping them learn how to use essential oils and what could help them be healthier. And I love that. So that's how I got started.
And Crystal is actually who introduced me to doTERRA essential oils. I had a kind of similar story where I'd used oils. I love natural medicine, but didn't really think any of it worked. So it took me a while to get on board. You got on board a lot quicker than I did, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
So what we're going to talk a little bit about today is just a really exciting thing that doTERRA is very passionate about, and actually two things. Number one is healing hands, and we're going to go into what healing hands is, and then we're going to talk about number two, co-impact sourcing. So the reason why I wanted Crystal to come specifically to talk about this is that her trip to Guatemala was both a healing hands and a co-impact sourcing trip, and so I want you guys to understand what that means from someone who's actually been involved in both. So my first question for you is, what is healing hands? What is that, Crystal?
Okay. Healing hands is the nonprofit arm of doTERRA. So it is a separate organization that doTERRA founded to do nonprofit social impact work all around the world. So if there's an area of the world where we source oils, or maybe where we don't, but there's a wellness advocate who has connections there, or doTERRA just recognizes a need in that area, they'll drill water wells, they'll build schools, they'll provide education and beds and clothing and food, whatever is needed in those areas. And a cool thing about Healing Hands that a lot of people don't realize is that doTERRA, the corporation, actually pays the Healing Hands staff. So every dollar donated to Healing Hands goes directly to helping people. Not a bit of it is used for overhead. doTERRA pays the overhead so that all the donations that we give, which you can do on your monthly order, a $1 donation, you can buy Healing Hands Rose Lotion or the Healing Hands Hope Oil Blend, and 100% of those profits go toward the Healing Hand projects all around the world. Or you can just make a single donation toward Healing Hands in general or a specific project such as Sika Bay in Guatemala if I wanted to do that. So all of that money is used for the social impact and humanitarian projects.
What a cool thing that doTERRA takes all of that money and puts it towards the actual projects that are happening and doesn't take any to put back into paying their employees.
Right.
I mean, that's big. That's mm-hmm. not a lot of companies do that.
No.
So, now tell me this, is there any kind of religious affiliation attached to the Healing Hands? Because I know sometimes these missions projects do, and maybe that's important to some people, and maybe it's important that there isn't. So tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that. Is there any kind of religious affiliation with this?
There is not, and that's doTERRA's official stance on it. And even on the trip, we were told this is not a religious trip or there's not a religious affiliation. So please do not be proselytizing or in any other way sharing. And we respect that you may or may not have faith that you believe in, but that's not what this trip is about. We represent doTERRA. We are ambassadors of both doTERRA and Choice Humanitarian, which is the humanitarian partner for this particular project in Guatemala. And so no, there is not on these particular trips.
Yeah, I know some people are curious about that, so I wanted to make sure we addressed it. So tell us a little bit about what is co-impact sourcing? I know that is a really big deal with doTERRA. So tell us a little bit, what is co-impact sourcing?
So co-impact sourcing came about from something doTERRA was already doing for years, but it didn't have the name. And this is just the official name of it. And it is basically fair trade. It is how doTERRA has decided to treat the farmers ethically, to educate them, to encourage them to be self-sustaining. So rather than just giving handouts, doTERRA is teaching them new skills and giving them a hand up so that they can be self-sustaining and they can grow their crops more sustainably, more organically, in ways that will produce better harvests, and that they also have what they need to put back into their communities and to be empowered as the growers to be able to provide for their own families, not because some charitable organization is giving them the means to do that, but because doTERRA is teaching them how they can do that and cut out middlemen who maybe were cutting a lot of the profits off the top from the growers so that farmers can have their dignity restored, have their livelihood restored, take pride in what they do. And so doTERRA is really part of a revolution to help agriculture communities take back their livelihood and their pride in what they do.
That's exciting. Very exciting.
Yes, it is.
So give us a little bit more of give us a little bit more of a example that hits home. So tell us, kind of outline a story of what, and this, I, when I say story, it makes it sound like I'm asking you to tell us of something that actually occurred, but like what it might look like to be a farmer in Guatemala, say, that doTERRA has approached and says, we'd like to co-impact source with you. Mm-hmm. What does that look like?
Well, I can be really specific about that because I saw it, you know, firsthand, and that was the coolest part about the trip, being on the ground with the actual farmers, seeing what doTERRA does in their communities. And so doTERRA chose this area because it's very fertile. Cardamom grows very well there. Cardamom was an oil that doTERRA was looking to source. They wanted to source it from an area where it's already grown organically. And in a native type way, there's already native farmers working the ground and the plants and knew how to farm, but maybe they didn't have all the information. So in this area, we actually could see places where the hills had been clear cut and people were planting cardamom just on the open hillsides. But actually cardamom grows better in shaded areas and will live longer and produce longer if it's in shaded areas. So doTERRA teaches the farmers that we work with, do not clear cut, just clear away the dead leaves and debris from the bottom where the pods grow out of the ground so that they have plenty of air and can get water and aeration and everything, but do not clear cut all around them. Actually, the other vegetation is helpful. And there's other things too, where a lot of the farmers in the region might use pesticides because they think these pests are bad, we don't want them eating our crop. But actually, when the insects, specific ones, attack the cardamom plant, it causes the cardamom to release a different chemical, or more of a chemical. It's just the 1,8-cineol, which any chemist out there would know is a very common component of cardamom, eucalyptus, great for respiratory. So our cardamom has more of that than your average cardamom because we allow the insects to do that because it doesn't actually harm the plant. It just creates a different chemical composition. So they educate the farmers on things like that, show them how they can get a better yield, how they can make the plants actually live longer just by cultivating, taking good care of them, so they have higher profit. And that's what doTERRA really wants for them, to have a higher profit. And then they saw, well, okay, the farmers are growing cardamom, they're getting paid better, they're getting paid fairly on time because of our partnership, but they still have this middleman, this drying facility where the pods are taken to dry after they're harvested. What if we just built them their own drying facility and encouraged them to create a co-op amongst the agriculturists, amongst the farmers, to create a co-op where they come together and they take turns working and they are able to dry it themselves and they don't have to pay a middleman for that. And that, again, is just increasing their profits, improving their community life. So doTERRA did that through Healing Hands, just built them a drying facility right there so they don't have to, another reason, they don't have to drive a lot of miles. I don't remember how many miles. It was like 100 miles to the nearest drying facility.
Wow.
And so that actually can compromise the quality of the cardamom versus it being dried right there on site where it's convenient to the farmers. And so they're just helping the farmers realize that they can be empowered to cut out middlemen and increase their profits, and they don't have to give their power away. So they do a lot of education agriculturally, but also economically. They teach them, some of them maybe have never had any extra money before, mm-hmm. and now they do. So they're teaching them budgeting and teaching them how to save and what to do with that now that they have it, so that they're not just, you know, losing it to a swindler or something like that who comes along. So there's many facets of it. Mm-hmm. It's really extensive.
So what you guys did on this particular trip is you helped build that drying facility.
That was actually a previous trip. It was all finished when we got there. So what we did on this trip, we had 3 service days. One was just actually learning about the cardamom and being out in the fields. And if it had been the right season, we could have helped harvest, but it was already a little late for that. So some of it was just learning more about that. We got to, you know, see the process. We also had a day of digging fence post holes because they had acquired some new land to expand the educational facility that's part of this complex that doTERRA helped to start. So they're acquiring new land for new buildings to expand their school. So we were helping just to be able to fence that in on one day. So just getting in the dirt, digging holes. Mm-hmm. And then on another day, we actually did a Choice Humanitarian project, which is building new stoves. And if you look on YouTube and just look for doTERRA Guatemala stoves or something like that, you'll see from past trips. This is a really cool project where a lot of the locals cook over open fires in their homes, in their huts, basically. And there's smoke inhalation. It causes eye problems, respiratory problems, especially for the very young and the elderly. And so this humanitarian agency, Choice Humanitarian, has devised a way to create a really innovative, simple stove that has a flue that gets the smoke out of their home. And it's basically just cinder blocks. They build dig a little trench and build cinder blocks up and put mortar in between them. And then there's a cooktop and a flue so that the smoke can get out of the homes. And they actually have a bigger surface area. They can use less wood to get the heat. It just the way that it's designed, they don't need as much wood, so they're saving money. But it's not just given to the local families. They actually do have to work for it. It costs, I think they said, around $55 total for the entire stove. And the local family has to pay $20 for the cooktop itself, for the metal cooktop. So they can either work for that, or maybe they, you know, the women will make extra tortillas, the men will garden some extra crops or something to be able to sell at market so they can pay for the cooktop part of it. So again, it is something they can take pride and ownership in. So we went in and just literally laid bricks and put down mortar and helped build some of these stoves for the families that had worked to pay off their cooktop part of it. So that was a really neat project to just be a part of. It has nothing to do with oils or farming or anything. It's just making life better for the local families in the region.
And that's a really cool thing that I think doTERRA does, is that they're not just concerned about the essential oils. They want to really improve the culture and the livelihood for people around the globe. And I think that's huge. It's a really cool thing about doTERRA, and it's a really great thing to be a part of. And I love how you talked about how the chemistry, mm-hmm. how I sometimes think that when people learn about essential oils, their whole thought process is like, lavender's good for sleep, mm-hmm. you know, and they think, oh, it just smells good. And that's why, right? It just smells good and it makes me calm. And they don't think about the chemical composition behind the oils, and that there is actually scientists who are researching that chemical composition. Like, what was the chemical makeup that you were talking about in cardamom that is specific for respiratory issues?
It's called 1,8-cineol. It looks like a number 1 and a comma and an 8. And it's just a chemical component mm-hmm. that is awesome for respiratory.
Yeah. And systems. I think we sometimes take for granted that essential oils are not just, I don't know what we think they are, like, because everything is chemistry, right? Yeah. But that they actually have a chemical makeup that has a physiological impact on our body, which is huge. It's a huge thing. And that's why there is the therapeutic component to essential oils. And knowing that researchers and scientists are out there trying to discover what chemical makeup is the best to suit our bodies and have the best effect on our body. And then on top of that, how the natural habitat of the plant is affected, and then how that in turn affects the oil and the chemistry of the oil. I mean, that's amazing. Who would have thought that, oh my gosh, a pest actually serves a purpose, and it doesn't hurt the plant, mm-hmm. it helps the plant.
I know.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. So amazing. So we look at that kind of stuff, and it's really phenomenal to be part of an essential oil company that not only is looking at how can we get more oil so we can get more money, mm-hmm. but how can we sustainably get oil, which I think is really important and worth noting, that doTERRA is really, they find it extremely important that essential oils are only sustainably mm-hmm. harvested.
Right.
And that's a really important component of all this. So tell us a few more things about Healing Hands in general, some of the other projects that they're involved with. I know there's a few other corporations or projects mm-hmm. or whatever you may, that yeah. they're involved with. And tell us a little bit more about those, because I think they're exciting and I think yeah. our listeners will too.
Okay, one of the other projects we got to be involved in is with Days for Girls, and it is an amazing organization. And so they go into third world countries and teach the young girls, young women, what menstruation is and why we have it. And we take for granted, but a lot of these girls don't know, and they're caught by surprise. And then there really aren't the resources to take care of it in a sanitary way. So maybe they're ostracized. Maybe they're told you can't go to school. You can't work during these days. You have to sit on a piece of cardboard in your hut, or you have to use some palm leaves to take care of that, and you can come out when that's all over. And they don't understand what it is and why we have it, so they're not prepared for it. I'm not saying that specifically in this area of Guatemala, but that's actually very common in different third world countries. And so we went into a school, and we really weren't given much of a clue as to how much they did or didn't know, so we assumed they didn't know anything. And the events coordinator for doTERRA actually got up, and there were two translators, one translating into Spanish, but then there are a lot of people who may not yet speak Spanish. They're learning it in school, and they speak a local language. It's a Mayan language called Quechqui. And so then there's another translator translating into that language. So it was a long process, but she had a plastic uterus that you would see in a clinic, and she told them, this is what's inside of me, and it's in what's inside of you. So we may look different on the outside, but this is what's on the inside of us, and this is why. And she got a little bit into the science of it, and just took the shame and mystery out of it, mm-hmm. explained that. And then there actually, the component I wasn't expecting was there was a little self-defense portion, and they taught the women, you know, you can say no. You do not have to just let yourself be walked on, and you have dignity and worth. And we want to hear you say no. So if someone's trying to do something to you that you don't want them to do, let's hear it. And they just don't really do that in their culture. So they were really timid about it at first. And then they got a little louder and a little louder. And then they had the man, this was all women, so it was the women who were on the trip, the wellness advocates, corporate representatives, and we started out with 40 schoolgirls, but throughout the hour, we kept getting knocks on the door, and pretty soon, like, the young mothers from the area were coming with their toddlers and babies, and then the grandmothers were coming, because they were curious, and by the time everyone had arrived, there were about 100 women, from babies through grandmothers, in there to listen to this. And so it was all women, that's very important. But then during the self-defense portion, they bring in a man, and he was a representative of Choice Humanitarian. And the events coordinator, her name is Alyssa, she showed some basic self-defense moves on this guy and talked about when you would use them, how to use them, if no isn't working. And then he actually got up and spoke about dignity and worth and how women should be treated from a man's perspective. It was really powerful. And then at the end of that, we pulled out these kits that women all across America sew by hand and for this nonprofit organization called Days for Girls. You can look up Days for Girls. They have an awesome mission to get these kits into the hands of every woman in every third world country in the world by like 2020, and they're well on their way. So it's a little cute backpack that's handmade, and you would never necessarily know what's in it. It has two straps you can put on your back, and inside there's a couple of Ziploc bags, one for cleaning, washing out these reusable pads. So there's 8 reusable pads and 2 liners, and they snap together. And then there's a couple pair of underwear, because you can't take for granted that these girls even have panties, okay? Mm-hmm. And then there's a bar of soap. So we show them, this is what you do. This is how you insert it. This is how you wash it. This is, use this Ziploc bag for the dirty one, and this one for the clean, and hang it out in the sun. That's very important for the bacteria. So we teach them how to use it, and then we kind of have to make it light and funny. So I knew enough Spanish that I was assigned a group of about 10 women, and I had a couple of assistants also, and was able to explain again, making sure they know how to use it, asking for a couple of volunteers, now you show me how to use it. And they were so embarrassed at first, but they did it. And then once they had the underwear and the pad all assembled, I put it on over top of my clothes and said, just, you don't know if they even know how to put on a pair of underwear, literally. Mm-hmm. So they all laughed, and that really kind of broke the ice. And it was just really an amazing experience. So after that, every woman who was of that age where they could still be childbearing years was given one of these kits to take home. And now they have a way to use it, and nobody has to know. They don't have to miss school. They don't have to miss work. They can go out and be a part of their society. Mm-hmm. So that was an amazing organization. And doTERRA is actually the single largest donor to the organization. Again, nothing to do with essential oils, just Healing Hands wants to be involved in empowering projects like this. And also, just on a smaller scale, for those who may not be aware, if you are a wellness advocate and you have a particular charity that you work with or a mission that you support, and maybe let's say you're taking a mission trip, and you would like to take essential oils, or you just want to go help build a school. It doesn't have to be related to oils, but you can apply to the doTERRA Healing Hands Foundation for a matching grant. And I actually just recently met someone who did this. She had a team member who was going to Ethiopia, and she really wanted to teach women and other people there too in some clinic settings, not just women, but all of the people in this area, how to use essential oils and start having them introduce that into their clinical setting. So she personally was going to raise $1,000 for $1,000 worth of essential oils. She submitted an application to doTERRA Healing Hands, and they matched it. So she showed her order receipt for that $1,000 worth of oils, and doTERRA sent her another $1,000 worth of oils, the exact same matching order, so she'd have double the oils to take.
Wow.
So that seems, you know, kind of small, $1,000 compared to $500,000 or whatever they've given to Days for Girls. But just know that if that's something that you have an interest in, and it's not just overseas third world countries, they do a lot here in our communities across the U.S. as well. So they like to have someone who's already representative of the company being involved, and they want to support those projects all around communities in the world.
And Days for Girls is such an amazing, amazing corporation. Yeah. I think that is corporation the right
organization.
I think the story that touched me the most is when at a convention a couple years ago, when they talked about how, the little girls in some of these third world countries, like you said, would literally be shunned for that week while they were having their cycle, and they would have to sit on a cardboard box and in their room, and that the only way they would even get food during that week is if someone brought it to them, that they just had to sit there for a week. And I think about, you know, we in America have no comprehension of that. We hear almost, as women, we're almost prideful, right, in our cycle, and it's almost a badge of honor. Yeah, it's a rite of passage. That's exactly right. And to think that in other countries, that it's something you're shunned for, and it's a beautiful. I mean, it means you can bear life, right? I mean, it's a really great thing. So I love the fact that doTERRA is involved with that. And I love even more when our male corporate founders get up and, you know, talk about Days for Girls and women getting menstrual cycle reusable pads. It's just, it's great to see them a little bit flustered, yeah, but they really do a good job with it.
They're passionate about it. They have daughters and wives, yes, and, you know, they wouldn't want that for their own families and people they love, but it is funny to hear them talking about it, but it's great that the company supports and stands behind those types of organizations.
Yeah,
it's just really changing the world. And the lady who founded Days for Girls, she said originally her thought was, well, she needs to take pads and tampons and things, you know, like we have disposable. And then she realized that's just going to create a bigger problem with all the trash. And we saw that in Guatemala. It was very sad. Such a beautiful country. But they don't have curbside pickup for their recycling, or, you know. So there was a lot of trash along the sides of the roads already because they don't have anywhere to take it. The last thing they need is more trash.
Yeah.
So these reusable, handmade kits are just a beautiful, great idea.
Yeah. And tell us for just a couple of minutes about Operation Underground Railroad, because I think that that's a really beautiful organization as well. And I think for so many people in doTERRA, where a lot of us are moms, A lot of us got started using essential oils because of our children. And so our love for children in general runs very deep, of course. And so Operation Underground Railroad is just an absolute perfect fit for Healing Hands. So tell us a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, when doTERRA first announced that they were starting to work with and support Operation Underground Railroad at convention a couple years ago, there was not a dry eye in the place. So as you can imagine, Underground Railroad has to do with slavery, and this is specifically children who have been caught up in the sex slave industry and the human trafficking. So a man who actually used to work with the government, and I don't remember the specifics of his story, but you can look it up. Just look up OUR, under Operation Underground Railroad. He was working in that capacity to try to alleviate the human trafficking, but there was so much red tape in the government job that he was in that they rarely actually rescued any real people. You know, it was just paperwork and getting through red tape and different bureaucracy things. And he decided to quit his government job, which I'm sure was a good job, and go start his own nonprofit organization so that he could be on the ground actually rescuing children. And within just a few months of starting this nonprofit, he had rescued more children than he had in something like 20 years as his career with the, in his career with the government. So he goes in and works with local government authorities, and he has to actually pose as one of these people who's buying children. He said that's the hardest part of what he does, because he has to be convincing that he really wants to buy these children. But then they come in and they have these stings and they break it up and arrest a bunch of people and take these children to rehab and get them reintroduced to society and help them. So that is an amazing organization. And the coolest thing, I think, about how we got started with this was our CEO, David Sterling, decided he wanted to check it out for himself before deciding if the company was going to start giving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, which I think is smart, being a good steward. So he actually went on one of these underground stings himself, and like nobody knew where he was for a few days. And he's a busy guy. He's the CEO of a $1 billion company. So he went out and did this, saw this is the real deal, and got to be a part of one of these operations. And then ever since then, doTERRA has been highly involved in supporting this man and his organization.
Yep. And it's a great organization. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you guys have seen, well, heard all of the really great organizations that doTERRA is involved with, and how important that doTERRA feels that it is not to only produce the highest quality essential oil that you can get, but also to really support just people as they do that. And really giving back is such an important part of the doTERRA culture. And so I hope that you guys learned something new, and you saw something or heard something today that helped you just really appreciate this company even more. I would strongly encourage that you would donate to the Healing Hands Foundation. It's a really easy and simple to do, and every dollar counts. It's helpful no matter how much you're able to give. No amount is too small, and no amount is too large, for sure. So we're going to continue throughout our journey with this essential oil podcast to talk to you guys about these types of just different organizations that doTERRA is involved with, and the importance of co-impact sourcing. And we want you to understand the chemistry behind essential oils and the usage behind essential oils, but we also want you to understand how being a part of this company affects not just you and I, but affects people across the globe. It helps to improve their lives, because when you're picking a company to really align with and become a partner with, it's important that you trust and you really agree with their mission. So, hope you guys have a great time listening to this.